Today on Secio, Elon Musk issues an election warning for the United States.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Secio. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Secio.
Hey, welcome to Secio. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. It's been a fascinating couple of nights in the interview that Tucker Carlson did with Elon Musk on topics that we are all learning about. I think, you know, it's interesting that Tucker Carlson said, you know, for most of us, the experience we've had with AI, actual artificial intelligence, has really only been about 3 months. We've been hearing about it, talking about it. I mean, Lord, our
whole life.
Our movies have been all about it forever. Is the, you know, the computers taking over, Stanley Kubrick, way back, and movies like The Terminator, all those, the robots ultimately turning on you, or the computer system turning on you. But he was asked really directly about not so much like 20 years into the future, but how is the AI that we're starting to all interact with, at least on like a let's see what it does basis, whether it's ChatGPT or a lot of the AI art I see, and some of that just get concerned about who's taking my data, but people are certainly utilizing.
Who's texting your intellectual? Who's taking your intellectual property?
Right, ours too. Like, you know, if you put up a blog online, it's a pretty understood world in the non AI world that if you're gonna even post that somewhere else, at least get a credit or a link back something. It's not always that you want people to share it because you put it out, you put it on social media, so you want people obviously to take parts of it. But then at what point is it just taking your ideas and kind of spitting them back out again? And whose ideas will it take? And I think this is the interesting point of the interview. It was, how does this affect immediately our elections? Because Tucker said, like, when could it start? Because all of us kind of asked, when do you think it would actually make an impact? And he said, this election cycle, take a listen.
If democracy is, you know, government by the people, each person's vote is equal to every other person's vote. I mean, and people are choosing their votes freely. Can you have a democracy with this?
Well, that's why I raise the concern of AI being a significant influence in elections. And even if you say that AI doesn't have agency, well, it's very likely that people will use the AI as a tool in elections. If the AI is smart enough, are they using the tool or is the tool using them? So I think things are getting weird, and they're getting weird fast.
I think that is a big concern. I think there are some tells people can kind of identify, but unless you're really kind of active, meaning like you're having work with AI, like now that I've done some work with it, I can identify it pretty quickly, whether something's been written in AI. Now that is the consumer level free-based version. When that gets beyond that, and it gets a little bit more detailed, and it gets a little bit more structured, and there's a little bit
for a version that's specific to your needs.
Yes, and I've done that before. It gets much better, and it gets much more exhaustive to figure it out. You can also kind of look in, when you start now Googling things and seeing stories, you realize, oh, none of this is being written by a person. You can start telling. However, that's the extreme minority, and that's what's coming up first because the SEO is so good, the search engine optimization, because it's created by artificial intelligence for the exact purpose of search engine optimization. And that's where the election interference could get wild.
Right, I think that's what he's saying when he says, are you using the tool, or is the tool just taking from you and ultimately using you?
Yeah.
So every time you're putting something into AI and then you're having to maybe ask a follow-up or a secondary question or a third question, next time around, you won't need to ask the follow-up or the secondary or third question. And at what point is it? But we know the Chinese are programming their AI to be pro-socialist, to never attack the Chinese state. So you can, there is a lot of human involvement in the beginning stages, but ultimately you will lose control. I mean, he even talked about how do you shut it off when it's online and you've got to have some kind of kill switch that we all agree upon. At this moment, we're shutting it off.
And how even does that work?
He even said, like, at some point it'll reject their passwords. It won't let you turn it off. It won't let you code it to stop. And they're huge concepts, but they are issues we're going to have to deal with in this election cycle. We want to take your calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. I mean, talking about misinformation, disinformation potential. We'll be right back. enough to worry about with our elections, right? I mean, we have changing election laws. I think that was the biggest issue that Republicans failed on. They're not afraid to say that because you have to acknowledge where you failed and fix those problems. We still have time, by the way. We're just getting into this next election cycle, but we better start doing it now. We had a misunderstanding, or at least we were not willing to utilize the laws to the legal extent possible. If you're a campaign, whatever is legal, you should be doing. And you should take advantage of that. And so whether it is early voting, and then you can track early votes much better. Because if people you know requested a ballot or pledged to go early vote, you can track and say, hey, did you turn your ballot back in? Yes or no? Did you remember to do so? Do you know that it needs to be in by this date, in the mail? Whatever it is. I know some people don't like this idea, but guess what? We got to deal with reality. The reality is your state has certain election laws different from another state's. And we have to be able to go in. We don't want to lose because we won't do what's legal. I mean, that's not a good excuse for ever losing an election. But issues alone aren't going to carry you over the line if you aren't willing to use the tools that are legally available to you. And yes, you can say, I don't like this election law. I think it should be changed. But you've got to elect people that will then change it. So you can complain about them all you want, but if you don't elect people who will get in there and actually do something about it, listen, there's an interplay between what the federal government can do and what the states have. The states have a lot of power under our Constitution to regulate how elections work. It's why, again, the Supreme Court doesn't really weigh in. And if you look at a lot of state constitutions, they've delegated a power over to the Secretary of State to basically, in any kind of situation, to ensure that people can vote, make any decisions they want. So you've got to have a team that is constantly, you have to invest in it as a campaign, as a political movement. The next investment is obviously going to be in AI technology. We're going to have to utilize it. And we have to make sure that it's not just going to be a tool utilized against conservatives, Logan, because typically
is what happens.
We are kind of on the back. We kind of play catch up all the time on tech.
Yeah.
We've gotten better. I think the conservative movement is sometimes using tech and ads better than the left. But it's kind of like the technology itself. It's kind of like early voting and things like that. We get a little scared of it. So we say,
ban it. We're not going
to
do it.
Or even if you want to have the ban, you can't get to the ban if you don't elect people who agree with you that it's wrong to have voting 2 months before an election and things like that, where you don't even have a full scope of what. You haven't even had a debate yet. You haven't even had a discussion yet, and people have already put their votes in. I get those concerns, but I also live in reality. And reality is that's not going to change without changing elections. And people getting elected. To get people elected, you have to win the election. And you have to play by the rules that are available to you. In any game, in any sport. I mean, I think of it like sports. You know the rules are, and you push it right to the edge. That's what the best athletes do. They take the rules and turn it into an advantage. The question with AI is going to be, do we let it take over the entire issue? I think that's where Elon Musk, his interesting warning, and I want to hear from folks, are they scared of AI? There's a lot of good potentials from it.
Yeah.
I mean, it can take away some human error when it comes to medical procedures and it can assist doctors. It can assist,
I mean, there's definitely positives that can come from it. I mean, to me, just playing around with it in the limited capacity I have, like I told you yesterday, I feel like the ship is out of the bottle in some sense, and there's no way to get it back in. And that's going to be the big concern here, is this isn't a trend. This isn't a moment. This isn't a social media platform that may or may go away. This is a technological move, unlike anything we've seen since the commercial availability of a home computer in the internet. So I'd say this is probably the next biggest evolution. You could say maybe the iPhone, those kind of things, but those were more consumer level type, goods.
Right.
They were more.
Those are like as he'll explain, those are the end game.
Yeah, that's like almost like a fun toy, a really good toy that works really well. This has such ramifications for generations to come. That it is really concerning. The question is really, can you regulate it? And I don't know if you really can. So then what happens? You have to figure out ways to keep it from running wild and keep it from, and not even, I'm not even that, I'm not as worried of like the robots taking over. I'm more worried about just the amount of things it can do, the lies either. That it can tell, what can happen to you, and even the
persuasion
and the it's stuff that can happen.
Either. Yeah. There's lies. That's one thing. There's also
it's determining what you are saying is good or bad.
Influencing policy.
It will shame you if you ask it something that it seems inappropriate.
Right.
It will say I'm not. You know, I think that essentially will say I would deem that hate speech. Therefore, I will not. Because I think a lot of people, especially when it started, tried to figure out how much far you could push it. And again, this is the free consumer level version of this. That's why I think people need to understand. It's not just ChatGPT is not the. The ultimate version of it right now. It's just a widely free that's commercial available.
Play around with.
Yeah, you can play around with it as much as you want. The concern is where this goes from here. And obviously we've seen an underpinning, and somewhat positive, somewhat negative, of like higher education. How does that start working? How does it impact your kids? How does it impact them getting schoolwork done and actually learning? Are they going to rely so much on AI? And you know what? Is there a point where they should? Is there a point where we have calculators, therefore why do you need to spend time in school learning some things.
Basic equations.
There's conversations that can be had about that. I think that could happen with AI.
And this is why I think will be interesting. I don't think when we were in school, it was just kind of happened. But I think, you can learn how to use a calculator.
Yeah.
You can actually teach people how to best use what
technology.
How powerful this device is. And that you can do actually not just basic math equations, but very complicated math equations. And right now, basically, you can already put those into Google. And get the answer basically immediately.
Yeah. I mean, Robin on YouTube just said, I remember pre-internet days and people were saying much of the same concerns. Yeah. And they weren't wrong. The internet was not a fad. The internet did not go away.
Right. It was life changing.
You're watching it on YouTube right now. You know, where before we would have had to be on a broadcast television network. Hopefully they picked us up as one of them. Now anyone could start a channel. Anyone can have a Rumble or YouTube channel and have their voice heard in different ways. I think that's a positive. But also, there are consequences.
Yeah, I think the internet has been pretty much liberating. And by liberating, it also has the negative consequences because it gives everybody a voice, and that includes bad people.
And then social media became controlled differently.
Yeah. I mean, Cat on Rumble said, is this how Terminator started? Is that the AI starts to block people from changing things? That is a concern of Elon Musk, is that we at some point, before it gets out of control, we have to be able to turn it off.
Yeah.
Take a listen.
Well, I mean, I guess if we lost control of some super AI, like for some reason, like the things that would normally work to do a passive shutdown, like the administrator passwords, if they somehow stop working, where we can't slow down or I'm not sure. I don't have a precise answer, but if there's something that we're concerned about, and are unable to stop it with the software commands, then we probably want to have some kind of hardware off switch.
Yes.
I think, can't hurt.
I mean, that's the thing. And that's more difficult than it sounds. When he gets into that, it's not unplugging because it lives online. So as long as there's a place for it to go online, and there's always going to be, I mean, unless you had a worldwide power outage, which it won't happen. It lives online, and so you can unplug there, but that's not going to stop it from continuing on.
Yeah.
It's basically creating a super brain, and the debate is, and it's weird to say that there's this debate, but there is actually debate. A lot of people in the tech world creating this, who are very smart people, obviously, think that that ultimately technology should run us, that it's better than humans.
Well, Elon has Neuralink. It's something he's been pushing for a long time.
Oh, yeah. They all have controversial things.
You know, that's a chip essentially the size of an iPhone or an Apple Watch battery kind of in your brain. Now, the first thing they're going to do is try to cure blindness and do things like that. That's amazing work. But then he did say eventually we should all recreationally have it. So then you could just pull up data.
We're super brains.
Yes, and its AI is partially controlled by it. So it's not all. It's a lot of these guys in the tech world who do believe that's where we should be headed.
We should be even more robotic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's where he is.
Cybernetic.
He's more. So I'd say this. He's more on improving. How could you improve humans? Maybe to an extent we're not all comfortable with. There is another side, though, that is saying,
who cares?
We as humans just need to be run by the tech. And if ultimately that leads to our demise, because the tech tells us stop having kids, you're wasting the world's resources. You know, if you don't eat bugs, you're bad. If you drive a gas-powered car, you're evil. So be it. And I think that is a distinction we can all say. That's not where I want to be. I do not want to see a world where our kids are run by a computer. Can they be assisted by it? Absolutely. And I hope they are in a way that does cure these diseases and can cure what we used to believe with, or the idea that was incurable, like blindness, or some kinds of, you know, getting rid of the idea of even cancer. That would be a wonderful world, and using the technology the right way. 1-800-684-3110, the impact on our elections. What are your thoughts? We'll be right back on Seculo. That interplay between, like, you don't want to be like the kind of the down player of, oh, this internet, it's going to destroy the world. But think about things that it has normalized that were not. The biggest, I would say, is pornography. That was something that was pretty taboo and a little bit difficult to access. And it became accessible to all. And it is changing the entire way people are growing up. I mean, and the interaction there on so many, and the effects it has. I mean, you get into, go down that path, the psychological impacts it has on people's lives and the way it can change them entirely. That's just one idea of the internet. And I say it because it's the biggest thing on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you could also just open that door to high speed internet available 24 hours a day in the palm of your hand.
Right.
That changed from being locked into a landline. Like the initial versions of it, while it had all those things, it still was, like you said, there was some hoops you had to jump through.
Oh, yeah.
Now there's nothing stopping, you know, the creation and the put out of so much horrible content, whether it's that or whether it's just, your kid clicks on the wrong YouTube video.
Right.
I mean, that's my big concern always.
They can only get the bad stuff out so quickly.
They just click the wrong video and all of a sudden, innocence is ruined. Right. It's a pretty wild world, and this is just...
That was a lot more difficult at our age, just 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think it was... Yeah, 20 years ago is kind of when...
You saw a bad movie.
When Wi-Fi started to show up. Wi-Fi just started to show up in your house. All of a sudden you had wireless internet, which meant your family kind of had independent access to the internet. It wasn't the family computer in the corner of your room anymore. All of a sudden, everyone started getting laptops. The whole world started changing. Then streaming and all of these things started to kind of roll. Again, some great stuff. We wouldn't be here without it. Absolutely. There's no doubt about that. We'd be able to broadcast this show without it. But then you do look at the ramifications that are coming. And to me, the AI portion of this has the most concern because it really can affect every portion of your life and every portion of your childhood growing up.
Yeah.
Because now, like you said, it's not only going to be feeding you information that maybe is incorrect, or maybe it's information that is pushing an agenda.
Has ideas
and thoughts. It also just revolutionizes and changes the way we learn.
Right.
And I think that's maybe the main thing. How we learn and how we
present
is 100% is now fundamentally changed at the core. And I don't think we'll understand the ramifications of it for another generation of kids. Like, I think our kids may actually be too young or too old. They'll feel it in high school. There'll be some stuff that will happen.
Yeah.
But you're talking about one more generation is where it could be, because right. It's kind of what happened to the internet. We were kind of the kids that grew up
dial-up
without the internet.
Yeah,
and then we grew up with the internet in the house. And by the end, by the time we were
acting too much education for me.
Right. You weren't using that many computers and stuff at school. And by the time we were in our late teens, early 20s,
by the time it was a graduate
Wi-Fi
school level, yeah.
And everything started to take over. So we kind of were in that middle. I think our kids are kind of in that right now. If you have kids right now, they're kind of the, the elder millennials of this generation. They're the elder whatever they are.
For me, it was 100% everybody had laptops connected to Wi-Fi the whole time.
Well, I mean, you think about the term paper thing. There was all those, kids are paying other people to write their term papers and they're turning them in. Now...
A supercomputer.
Now, and it's written in 35 seconds, you know? You watch it in real time, it spit it out for you.
There's AI being created to detect AI just for that issue because of higher education. It's like, people are already saying, why am I paying this much for these liberal arts education? And then on top of that, if you're just going to be plugging into a computer, what's the point anyways? You're not learning how to write. I mean,
we had a comment just came in that said AI can never replace human thinking. I disagree.
Yeah, I totally disagree with that.
I totally disagree with that. It's much smarter than you are. I mean, I'll be honest. Already. Much smarter than all of us are in terms of the amount of data and that it can spit out at you.
Yeah,
I mean,
Elon Musk, who's one of the smartest people in the world, obviously, a big thinker. He admits that immediately. This is already, at its beginning point, smarter than anyone. There's no human that can write at the speed it writes, at the level of quality it writes.
No. Without errors, without typos. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that I'm calling anyone dumb or anything. That's not what I'm saying.
Like, possibly Shakespeare could outwrite it right now.
And it's debatable if Shakespeare was even real. I mean, that's a whole other discussion altogether.
If it was just one person.
Yeah.
No, I know. But that's what he was really saying too.
I know. He was more saying not even Shakespeare could do this.
Right, and that at the quality level. Like, maybe Shakespeare could put out that much quality writing.
The little things that always got to me are how much data it has to then reinterpret. So even like on a little sense, like if you tell it, hey. It
speaks every language. Think about that.
Speaks folks. Every language. And have it write in the style of someone. Try that out for size. That's the freakiest part to me. I've said, write me a stand-up act in the style of Mitch Hedberg, my favorite comedian who's been dead 20 years. It pumped out immediately. A dozen jokes in the style, perfectly in the cadence.
And he's not in like the pop culture.
Right.
He's
no one would know that. It's not like that. Not no one, but I mean, he's one of the best of all time, but not, again, it's not a moment. Not a ton of content that's out there that this computer can then analyze the way this person speaks.
Seconds.
And then create how it wrote. Seconds. And they're hilarious.
Did it take longer for you to type in the difference?
Probably. And then I wrote back, are these actual jokes? And it said, no, I just replicated the style.
Think about if you needed a nationwide legal analysis of every county's rules on something.
Yeah.
That would take, if you had to do that before the internet, that would be an extremely expensive project to hire a law firm to do. Or you'd have to have a group like ACLJ to do it. We did a review of election laws in 50 states.
Yeah.
It was very intensive, and that's with technology. If you trusted the AI to do it.
That's the problem, too. A lot of times it will say it hallucinates to you.
You'd have to trust the AI to do it. But certainly, if you were like a campaign, you said, what are the election laws that we need to follow in Florida? How many ballot signatures you need to be on the ballot? When you need those in by? Who checks them? When do you have time to make corrections to signatures? When's the absentee date? What can you request it for? All of that data, yes, it's available. I'm not saying it's not, but you could get it in seconds now if you trust
it. I just asked it to see what it would say.
Yeah.
I just asked, what are the election laws you'd have to follow in the state of Florida? And it says, as an AI language model, I don't have the ability to follow election laws, but here I'm going to supply you, provide you with some information about the election laws. It has the voter registration, 29 days, the voting methods, identification requirements, and this is all being written in real time.
It's being written as we speak.
Yeah. And there's probably already 1,000 words.
I don't follow laws. That's great.
Yeah.
That's an interesting statement too for the AI.
Yeah. Well, it has a lot of those caveats. And they just said at the end, after Florida has elected Secretary of State, who is responsible for overseeing, it's important to note that election laws can change over time. So it's a good idea to consult with a relevant government agency or seek the advice of an attorney if you have questions about specific election laws.
So it's still giving caveats.
It puts a caveat to it, but it gave me the election requirements, the candidate qualifications, the campaign finance information, the election administration, voting methods, voter registration. And that was all in about, 15 seconds? And it wrote it in a way that's easy to understand.
Yeah, right. It wasn't complicated like legal jargon.
No.
I want to go to the phones. Thomas in California online. Well, we got time to take it. I think. Hey, Thomas.
Hi. So I was at the Van Nuys courthouse, and I sat by the clerk, and right in between the slow point in the action, I noticed the clerk was on ChatGPT searching the internet for a couple of different topics that. We're definitely not case-related, and I'm just wondering what you think if AI was attached to that, if it could get
this
active.
This is the question with it, right? It's once you let the AI in, what's it doing with the rest of your data that's on your computer? Or not just your computer, but the court's network. And it's not at the point yet where it's influencing. Obviously, a jury is still human. You still have to present evidence. There's all these kind of safeguards, but that's in a court. In a lot of parts of our life, we don't have all those safeguards. We don't have all those steps. 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about EPA rules coming up and how you can get involved so your car isn't taken away. 1-800-684-3110.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. We are taking your calls to 1-800-684-3110. Just the impact, again, we're not just randomly talking about this, because Elon Musk sat down with Tucker Carlson. He got asked directly. We played it for people. Where could AI impact us? You know, where do you see it like happening the most? He said, you know, there's all the big things you could talk about, but the immediate effect could be on this election cycle and just who is running who when you're utilizing it as a tool. Is the tool running you? Are you utilizing the tool? And he doesn't have a definitive answer on that yet. It's not 100% that it's going to take you over, but it's not 100%, like we've all said, it is on a technical level, it is smarter than any of us and kind of all of us combined. I mean, it takes a lot of people to be able to, speak every language in the world, every dialect, to be able to write that way and push it out. And yeah, so even putting together 10 of the smartest people in the world can't do that. Not in seconds, not even in days. So again, there are great potentials for this. And technology has improved life. For big picture, I think yes. Has it also brought in some bad? Of course. And I think one of those issues too has been like the electric cars, which Elon Musk has been behind completely. He's also given the warning out. I think that's why people respect him more so than some of these like Google guys.
Yeah,
because they kind of just go, let's go 100% in.
He's more like an inventor.
We'll deal with the consequences.
You know,
but yes, and what he said is, it's great technology, electric cars. We can't all drive them. We don't have a grid for it.
They're not ready yet.
The vehicles aren't really there yet. Obviously, he wants to get there. He would benefit from the laws like the EPA, which has put out their proposed rules. Pretty scary stuff. The Washington Post calls it tough. So the liberal outlets, Joe Manchin calls it dangerous. Of course, he can thank himself for creating a lot of these, the power of these institutions. So they put forward proposals that would, again, they would take your car away. It's not crazy to say that when you actually look at what they are proposing. So just the proposed rule last week, this is a rule because Congress has delegated so much power, like emission standards we talk about a lot.
Yeah.
There's ways Congress can claw back the power, but a divided Congress isn't doing that, and a Senate run by Democrats. So yes, you can challenge it, but most of the challenges to these rules work if they don't follow their own rules to make a new rule, which is Administrative Procedure Act, and you have to allow people to comment. In this case, they are. So through ACLJ Action, we put together a comment. So if you go to acljaction.org, so you can then submit your comment. These are officially accepted by the agency. Again, they then take those comments, and it can impact their rule. So we want to make sure that the EPA knows you're concerned about this, that you believe these rules are going to hurt America, hurt American jobs, and hurt the American people. Because the proposal would result in an estimated 2/3 of light-duty cars, so most of the ones we drive,
yeah,
and half of medium-duty cars sold in the U.S., being electric by 2032.
Yeah, not very long.
That's a decade.
Not even.
That's nine years.
They about it where you were 9 years like, ago, not that long ago.
I mean, some of this seems like they're making rules that we can't even meet. Right? I mean, how do you even meet that?
Now, that sounds impossible. When you start to realize, look at your cars. Look on the streets. How many of those cars are over 9 years old? The mass majority.
They're going to start banning them.
That's what I'm saying. Right now, the mass majority of cars you see are over 9 years old because cars were all of a sudden now built to go 300,000 miles. We're built to withstand a lot of these technological changes. We kind of live in a different world with that as well.
Yeah, because you can update them too. You can update the tech. You can place parts much easier. We got used to that, and then we saw the supply chain downfall. But does it get to a point where it's so expensive that they've basically taken a whole other class of people and said, you can't buy cars anymore. You can't independently own your transportation. Right. You'll have to rely on who for it? The government. Which right now we see is, again, in major cities, all different income levels do that. But for most of us who don't live in those kind of places, the independence of having your own vehicle is important. It's a step in life. 1-800-684-3110 will tell you how to get involved when we come back. Sec-Hill. So we want you not to just hear about these proposed EPA rules and be like, this Biden can't stand them. You have a role to play in this. They've decided with this rule, at least, that they're going to utilize the Administrative Procedures Act. What does that mean? You get a comment period. They then have to review those comments, respond to comments. So part of this is to overwhelm them with the American people saying, this is wrong. So at ACLJaction.org, that's ACLJaction.org, you have the ability to put in a comment online at ACLJaction.org and have it submitted. And we have it pre-written for you. By putting in your information, we know it knows exactly where it can go. You can also edit it, though. You can write your own. You can take all of our information out. You can use some of it. But it's available for you, so you can do it very quickly at ACLJaction.org. And what we want to do is not just – the ACLJ will submit our own comment. But we want to also have you then, again, submitting comments that we've agreed upon that are similar, these ideas are going to kill American business, hurt the American consumer. Other countries aren't putting these restrictions on their people at a mass scale. Yes, we've seen it in Europe. I'm talking about the major players. For instance, the Chinese. So while they're not putting these kind of restrictions on their own people, we have a government who's saying we're going to go all electric in 9 years. Halfway. Two-thirds for most regular cars that are not like 18-wheelers or heavy-duty trucks. And yet, there's not a manufacturer out there who could even get close to that right now. And if they're not close to it 9 years from now, they're not close.
Hey, look, I
don't want to rely on the grid.
I love technology. I love seeing things move forward. I pre-ordered a EV 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and about every 6 months, I get an email saying, hey, it's going to be another year. It's going to be another 6 months. Hey, we're not sure when we're going to, we may never get it. By the way, if you'd like to buy the merchandise for it, you can right now. I got that around Christmas. They're like, guess what? Because you pre-ordered, you've unlocked. I'm probably going to cancel my pre-order because at this point I've seen with the technology move and how poor some of them have done. But I'm a person who likes tech moving forward. But we do have to be realistic. And the realistic part of this is in 9 years, which is not, it's a blink of an eye. We're not going to be there.
No.
So you put those regulations. So
why
just
do we
ridiculous.
Put the rules on ourselves? I mean, it's just going to hurt us. That's why, again, we want you to take action, do something about it, not just complain about it, not just talk about it. That's what we do differently on our broadcast. We're not just a news show. I think with AI, I'm going to assign a team of attorneys to start getting deeper into that. I like talking about it here to see your kind of reaction to it, and then two, put that means that taking ACLJ resources and putting it into understanding how could we, one, legislate it, but that to legislate it, we're going to have to work with the tech people like who understand. It's great to say it needs a kill switch.
What does that even mean, though?
So the first step is we have to say you have to have it. The second is, what does that mean?
Right.
Right? And so, but to get to the what does it mean, you're going to have to tell the industry that you must do that, that we are going to shut this down if you do not have the ability to shut this down on your own.
Right.
Or when we decide as a government, as our elected officials, that it needs to be shut down. So go to acljaction.org. We want you to engage today. Logan, let's go to some of the phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go ahead and go to Grant in Florida online too. Grant, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. My comment was about earlier about the whole issue with children being exposed to things on the internet they shouldn't be. And the way I feel about it is that, for example, all adults, when they go into any kind of adult store or anything, they have to show their ID to get in. And my opinion, and I've heard arguments, comebacks against this, but I'll clarify after I say it. When an adult goes into a store and they have to show their ID, if we had two internets, one where you have to have your information, you have to show your age, to get onto it, and then another internet where children can get onto that's not dangerous, you could put all the adult material on the other internet, and that would also protect adults' minds from things like pornography and stuff like that.
I mean, it sounds wonderful.
You could do that in your own, like, you can put a lot provider, of you can put those protections, but they're not 100%. And your kids are smart. But that's the problem, is kids are smart. They know how to.
They're probably smarter. They're going to, at some point, they cross the line where they're better than you at tech.
Yeah. We saw a comedian who is older and he said, yeah, me and my wife just started having kids now. So we have someone who can help us with our computers. I mean, that is the truth. That's what happens. Eventually your kids are more tech savvy than you are. In terms of those kind of things. The main difference would be maybe they don't have a credit card, but that's probably going to change as well.
And I feel like to some extent we have, listen, I always support more of the Wild West free speech. I think more free speech is better, and you can actually, we can police ourselves better. Like when we as a people say, okay, this person should not be elevated anymore, or this kind of, there needs to be more restrictions on this. And listen, we know where it's gone. It's the horrendous things you can see online. And it's not just what would be classically defined as pornography. It's also the violence.
Yeah.
And the depicted violence. Some which is real. We've seen it from terrorist groups utilizing.
Some is just words. It's just words that are, I mean, that's what
but
a lot of
words are
says.
Words. It's very difficult to police words. And then
yeah.
Our new words are kind of video. Like are visualized.
Yeah.
Everything is visual now. And listen, I mean, some of that we just have to deal with. We have to deal with, obviously, like we were talking about with how it could impact our elections. We have to deal in the reality of the moment and also then think forward as well. And kind of whether it's investing in it, but also investing in the right restrictions. People didn't understand the power of the internet. The people in charge certainly did not. You know, like the legislators.
Yeah.
It's why I always get concerned when I think it's good to have people with experience, obviously, running the country, being president. But there's got to be a certain amount of people around them. And I think this is important, too, for our courts, who don't fully understand
new stuff.
Yes, and understand that we might not figure out every part of it right now, but we understand what we don't want to happen. So let's start putting in the requirements for safeguards, even if we don't yet know how to write the requirement. Because the industry making money off this, they're not going to want to spend their money on that part unless you tell them this has to be part of it.
Yeah. You want to take another call?
Sure.
All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Yvonne, who's calling in New York on line 3. And if you're on hold right now, we're going to get to you coming up either this segment or next. Yvonne, you're on the air.
Okay. What I wanted to know, if the computer can be used for writing papers and falsehoods, okay, what aspect can honesty be put in? I think also that like secular is a law department. I think we need a department, okay, that's not liberal, putting in facts, because all the computer is doing is gathering facts as far as I am concerned. And the thing is, humans get knowledge, okay, and they can create justice. This is my opinion.
Yeah, Yvonne, the AI does learn, and there actually has been some show that it does do. It also seems to have an inherent built-in respect for people, if you will, in some ways. Respect for religion, respect for different things. So there's been those conversations of what can you do to sort of influence it. But trust me, if you're thinking that, people are already way further in terms of the cheating and all of that. That's going to come from the schools to figure out, and education departments and the bar to figure out how you're going to do it. It's going to be tough.
Or it's all going to be thrown out the window.
Yeah. Or we're just going to rewrite how everything works.
I know people like this idea. There's kind of like, there's no grades.
Yeah.
And we also got rid of the bar exam during COVID in many places. And it's not necessarily coming back. And it's kind of saying, hey, you did your 3 years of law school.
Yeah.
Do we need another step, because it's, again, people are taking on so much debt, so much time before they can actually practice. And it's not exactly, again, being any kind of specialist in the professional world, obviously you want to be able to go to somebody and rely on them. So you want them to have that extra level of training. And obviously that kind of starts with doctors. Anybody's going to perform surgery on you or recommend the surgery or give you medication that they've had a certain amount, obviously, of practice, schooling, and tutelage. But it's also like, when have we gone over the top? Most countries don't say you got to go to 4 years of undergrad and then 4 years of medical school and then residency for another 2 years, and then you're not even practicing medicine till you're almost in mid-30s.
In your 30s, yeah. Definitely in your 30s.
And then you kind of have a limited time. And then I think the same goes with, in most countries, if you want to go to be an attorney, that's what your schooling is. So you're not spending all of your time, oh, I got to take basic intro to chemistry. We have to rethink that as well, too. And some people, they want to spend all their time on chemistry, science. That's wonderful for them, too. Weigh in, 1-800-684-3110. A lot of calls, a good conversation today. And take action at acljaction.org on this EPA rule, which, again, it is so damaging potentially to our country, and it will just make us have to rely on the government more just to get around for transportation. And who wants to rely on them for that? ACLJAction.org. Support the work of the ACLJ. We have a matching challenge right now, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Interesting thing, just on Fox News right now, it's do you favor just doing everything online, or do you want to have like human interaction? And most people our age and younger we'd rather just do it online.
Absolutely.
I don't want to talk on the phone.
No.
If I'm talking on the phone, obviously we do that a lot at work. It's because it's not something you're putting in writing.
Yeah,
it's serious.
Time wise.
I think
if I'm ordering a pizza, I'm doing it on my phone.
Yes, know? I feel like they want you to do that.
Oh yeah. I mean, most of the time,
even the smaller guys.
It could be that my kids have weird requests, and I have to put that in. You know, it's less embarrassing to just put that in online than having to call in and be like, no sauce, no cheese. You know, it's just sometimes that happens. All right, should we go ahead and take a phone call?
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. If you call now, you still have time to get on.
Yeah, for sure. Give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to David. He's calling in Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Good day. Hey, I thought I'd just augment your conversation about AI by just pointing out that we've been victims of AI, or should I say, custodians of AI for over decades in the music industry. Yeah, it happened in the 70s manually, and then as we all know, it became automated in the 80s. And today, I think it would shock you at how many songs you hear are written through algorithms, and how many songs you listen to are being played by AI based software.
I'll be honest.
SiriusXM is mostly run by
AI. Well, even just like the music that we use in our videos, they're not necessarily written by AI, but they're not, you know, natural instruments. They're digital instruments.
But also the songs on those radio stations now, there's no DJ.
Oh no, that's all being run. Yeah, that's all being run differently.
It's fed based off what you want.
And look, there's some positives to
that's
that.
That's
good.
You get what you want.
But there's also, we're saying, like the ones, like you saw that there was like a Drake and who was it else? The Weeknd put out a song that was all created by AI that was very good. Now, there is rumors that that is all a publicity stunt, and that's not even true. But people are starting to use the technology.
Creating. So you have two incredible creators utilizing the technology.
Well, they didn't say that. They started shutting it down. But a lot of people think that maybe it was a publicity stunt.
Oh.
But it was created that way because now you can replicate voices, and it is a much different world. For sure, David. We have to keep an eye on it. But again, what are you going to do about it? That to me is the main thing. The ship's out of the bottle. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and I'm not as concerned about its effect on the arts because the arts are always changing.
Yeah.
Where I'm concerned about is, like Elon said, like elections and our ability to kind of maintain power as humans. Where the human race is in charge.
For sure. All right, let's go ahead. Let's go to Donna, who's calling on line one. Washington, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. As you've been talking about AI, it took me back to when I was young, and I watched an episode of Star Trek with the Ultimate Computer that eventually got outsmarted by Captain Kirk, and it exploded itself.
Oh, that's a good result, season 2, episode 24 of Star Trek, the original series. But yes, I do think a lot of people, we've been talking about this for a long time in terms of the concept that this could happen. But you're talking about that was from the 60s.
I think we all recognize
that Star Trek series. And way before then, we were talking about computers taking over. And in that one, it didn't let until you said it's 2001, where the computer decided, you know, and the whole thing with HAL. These are the situations that would get there.
I can't do that.
The problem also you always had with Star Trek, and that was March 8th, 1968 was that episode. The problem you always had with Star Trek is Star Trek highly influenced technology. So they probably gave a lot of the people who are creating the technology the ideas, or their parents or grandparents the ideas. That was sort of the odd part. It's like the way spaceships are designed, the way a lot of these things come from, a lot of the way communications, the way the iPhone works. A lot of this came from fiction. Works of
like
fiction.
The SpaceX, it, what it looks like. It's like the
the visuals of communicators, cell phones, those kind of things. A lot of that comes from science fiction, and the most brilliant minds in the world, usually huge fans of science fiction, figured out how to make it real.
Yeah, I mean Stanley Kubrick. I actually think 2001: Space Odyssey was kind of painful to watch through as a younger person. Is like more impactful today than it was. Obviously, was released because it seems. So much more real.
And what's odd is this 2001 came out just a few months, or maybe it came out in 1968 also.
Yeah.
So you're talking about some reason in 1968, we were all about artificial intelligence.
Computers were probably, supercomputers were starting to work. Nuclear.
You started to hear about it. People started going to space more. Those things started to happen. All right, let's try to take another call. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Colorado. You're on the air.
Hey. Your discussion on electric car mandates, got me to thinking that we really need to be focused on the role of government versus what we end up doing is the left floats an idea and we react to it based on its merits. Our first reaction should be that's not a proper role of government. And
you're absolutely right, Mark. To get there, we have to win elections, and then we could change fundamentally the role of government, which has gotten way too powerful and way too impactful. But by allowing many, many years ago, the EPA to Congress delegating the power to the EPA and saying, you're the specialist, you do the emissions. Okay, that actually led us to the point where they could then say, we don't want emissions anymore, we're going electric.
Yeah.
Congress has the power to claw that back and say no. But the government is always going to want to be more and more powerful. As an entity, it's up to us. One, we want our ideas to turn into action. There's twofold. Right now, we're not winning on a mass scale. Our ideas just aren't winning. We're either not presenting them the right way to get enough people on board. So we win one election cycle. But President Trump only got 4 years to drain the swamp. You can't drain the whole swamp in 4 years.
Yeah.
So you're not even to the point of writing a lot of new stuff. You're just trying to get rid of bad actors. And he got impeached twice. And I mean, look at all the things going through just by trying to take Washington apart, which I think is what Mark is saying. We all want to do that. We've been behind the abolish the IRS movement for over a decade now. We're there ideologically. It's the implementation of it. We have to get it done.
Yeah.
And you cannot just be in charge for a few years to do those things. Right now, we have a divided Congress. Look at what happened to us in the midterm elections. We can't just all throw up our hands and say it's because the elections aren't fair. We have to win. We have to be able to win in our country. And we've got to keep people, once they're in charge, keep selling in a positive way our ideas to the American people so that they want to keep you in charge long enough to make the changes that you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, we're always trying, like you said, we're going to try to put together a team of lawyers and media experts who really know what's going on in this world more than even we do, to try to figure out what you can do. What are those regulations? What are those kill switches that can be created and how they can be implemented? And it's an important time to support the work of the ACLJ.
Yeah.
So you can do that.
I do like the comment coming in and saying, I'm feeling more and more Amish.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. I mean, there's a ton of that move.
Yeah, it's an intriguing lifestyle.
To say, you know, what a lot of people do is they're taking like vacations where they're shutting down. It's tough for us to do that because the work that we do at ACLJ, I can't really do that as a
attorney. I can't shut everything down. I mean, I went to Amish country. I visited as a tourist.
I'm doing my work job for you all, too. I mean, like, we're doing this. The government doesn't shut down.
You can't just.
Politics.
You
the world doesn't
turn
shut
off.
Down.
Yeah, I know.
But it is a nice idea. To at least go to places that are a little less connected, a little less sensory overload when it comes to tech. And I think that's that good part of humanity you want to preserve. We do have this idea of always, we never really do it, but it's like going back to nature. It's Thoreau. It's all these. It exists because we have that natural urge. We don't want that to be destroyed. We want our kids to be adventurous on Earth and in space as well. Support the work of the ACLJ, aclj.org. Doubly impact your donation. Our matching challenge this entire month. That's aclj.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.